ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജരാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സരശ്വര ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനക്കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്കി മധുരപുരിധാമക്കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമക്കി ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമക്കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശിശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ അജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതം നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീ വർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിരേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാധ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദ ശ്രീ ഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ സോറി നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബന സാംബോധേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ട സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപദരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമിഹം ഭക്തശാക്തിയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയദാം സുരദോപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമതേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീദാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻവേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർ ഗോപിനാഥാ ശ്രീയേസ്തു നാഹം തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീരാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, today is Gaura Purnima. That means Mahaprabhu's appearance day. Because of that, what we'll do, we'll just read through these 8 verses, Shikshashtayam, which are in the page 22. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not compile much literature. He wrote these 8 verses to propagate the holy name of Krishna. So, because this is Mahaprabhu's compilation, these 8 verses, we'll just read through them and then we will start discussing Ishvaranishad. So, Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaida vachandriga vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pradipadam purnamradaswadanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is a life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida niyamida svaranena kalam edadrishi tava kriba bhagavan mamabi durdaiva medrishamiha janinanuragan. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Trinada Vishuni Jena Tarora Visahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. Such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishware bhavadat bhakti rahe dugitvayim. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. Ai nandadanu jakingaram padidamam shame bhavambudau kripaya tava pada vangajasthita duli sadrasham vijindayam. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagir nijitam kadavukada tavanamagrahane bhavishyadi. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Ashlishya va padradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karodhuva yadha adadava vidhada dulambado matprananatha sunevana param. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything. for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So these 8 verses which Mahaprabhu compiled as Shikshashtakam is the is the prime verses in relationship with the chanting the holy name. We have to discuss these verses some other time in detail, because all those verses when Mahaprabhu has spoken, he has deeper level understanding of the potency of the holy name, which he wanted to explain through that. We'll come to that later, because as we stopped before, this Ishobanishad verses, where we stopped before I went to India, we'll continue from that for the moment. Last thing, what we mentioned was that our understanding of Krishna, what is Krishna? This is what we were talking about, isn't it? So, in Krishna consciousness also, sometimes we understand things in a wrong way. Instead of realizing what is Krishna, and on the basis of that, changing our way of life, often we get affected by the influence from people who may not have understood what they are saying, what they are talking about. That's where it requires a deeper reflection and also understanding from the Shastram. Otherwise, Krishna is misunderstood sometimes. This is what we were discussing last time. Mentioned there that people approach God with the understanding that God is someone who should fulfill all their desires. We try to evaluate on the basis of that, on the limited experience what we have in this life, on the experience of happiness and distress what we receive in this lifetime, we start judging Krishna on that basis. But Krishna is not to be judged in that way. Just like people, they experience happiness in this life sometimes. Sometimes you get a lot of distress also. Based on all that, if we start evaluating Krishna, that is the wrong thing to do, because that is not proper understanding of the truth. Understanding of the truth. That's what we were discussing last time. Then, this small period of lifetime what we have in this world, it's not a long time, 50, 60 years what we live here. Based on that, our life doesn't finish with this. Nor did our life start with this body. It's been going on eternal. Our existence is permanent. That's what Krishna is stressing this point to us, to remember this all the time. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayora vidrishtvandam sthanayor tatva darshibi. Why Krishna put that verse is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Only for this reason, that we all have this nature to think that this life is everything. Everything is finished with this life. Or what happens in this life, based on this limited span of time here, we judge and we conclude, we make certain conclusions about God, about material life, material nature, spirituality, everything. And that is a mistake Krishna says one must stay away from. Therefore, this is the reason specifically in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the 18th chapter, that Arjuna, know me like this, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hridyeshe arjuna tishtati, that I am the person who is present in everybody's heart. If you know like that, there is no question of thinking that with me, with my death, the life is over. No, life goes on. Wherever Krishna is present, the life goes on. Actually, only Krishna is present. There is nothing else present in this creation. It's only Krishna who is present. So, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hridyeshe arjuna tishtati. Arjuna, in the heart of everyone, it is me who is situated there as the controller of everyone. Everybody is controlled by me. Completely, 100% is under my control. That's why Krishna is stressing that point. And Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi. What else? Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. And while being in that heart, what I do is I move them around. All of us are being moved around, being sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya. Just like in that cog wheel we sit, or in the London Eye, when you sit in one bucket, you keep going down, then comes up, goes down, comes up. And this is that cycle going on with us. also. That's what's happening to us. That in the cycle of material existence, birth and death, one after the other, is happening. Krishna is saying that Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, all living entities are being revolved, being rotated like this. Yandra Rudhani Mayaya. Just like you are present in the in that machine, big wheel, London Eye, Mayaya. Maya is pushing us through this one after the other. Every one birth after another birth after another birth. So after saying that, Krishna stressed that point there. Everyone's heart, I am present. Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Once we recognize that, we will come to know that Krishna is not only present in the temple. Initially, we start like this. We go to temple thinking that Krishna is there at the temple, nowhere else he is there. That is the very first step in spiritual life, where you get, by Krishna's presence in the deity form, we are invited to come to the temple and see the deity and start first a relationship with Krishna. But you can't stay in that level for the rest of the life. That has to change. That is a very, very, very preliminary step to go to the temple and to see the deity. From there it should start, but then the relationship with other living entities is much more important. How we deal with other people, whatever relationships are. That is where philosophy comes into our life and start really showing the impact of that philosophy in our way of thinking, in our relationship with others. If that change is not happening, we get stuck with that deity worship and the temple there. We won't move further from that. It will stay there for the rest of the life, and at the end of the life you will still feel that you haven't progressed on the path of spiritual life. So Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Then what does Krishna says? Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani Yandra Rudhani Maya. Just like Maya has this job, is given to her, that she should rotate us continuously in cycle of birth and death. After saying that, Krishna said in the very next verse, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata. Bhagavad Gita is very much interconnected, each verses. Provided we see that link between verses properly, then you will know how profound the message is coming from. Krishna says there in that 18th chapter, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata. Isn't it? Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata. I'll tell you the verse number is 62. So immediately after Krishna saying to us that I am present in everyone's heart and everyone is moved by Maya according to their karma. That's what this wheel keeps moving. Wheel of karma Krishna discussed in the third chapter. Isn't it? Krishna says, Evam pravartitam chakram nanuvatta yadehaya aghai indriya ramo mokham parthasa jivadi. There's a verse in the third chapter. So there Krishna spoke about that chakram, that wheel, how it works. Evam pravartitam chakram. He explained about the karma yoga process and how karma is moving us one body to another. Karma is moving us from one body to another. Karma creates karma vasana causes the birth, and that takes us into another body. But always in all this, the controller is Krishna. Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. So after saying that, immediately after saying that, Krishna said in the next verse, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Sarva Bhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsisi Shashwadam. Krishna says, O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. After knowing this, that he is present in everyone's heart, surrender unto him. To that Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart, surrender unto him. That is the important point. That by his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Now, here you can see, Krishna says there, that peace is important. In spiritual life, peace is important. If we continuously disturb our mind with various issues in this world, that is not a favorable situation for making spiritual progress. Making spiritual progress is not possible. That's why peace is given in all Upanishads. You will see Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Shanti. Shanti is necessary. It is from Shanti we will understand the very subtle principles of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it's very, very hard. It's not something to be acquired by intellectual knowledge. It is that purity inside which comes from Shanti. When there is Shanti inside, there is purity. That's what it means. And when there is purity, you will get this subtle message clarified inside in a natural way. Why? Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtari. He is inside there, getting clarifications to us, giving us everything what we need to know about spiritual life. So this is the reason Shanti is given importance. Krishna gives importance to Shanti, not all the emotions and excitement what we have in this world. And in order to have that Shanti, Krishna says, Tal Prasadal, when is that? Tam Eva Sharanam Gacham, Sarva Bhavena Bharata. When one completely surrenders unto that truth, who is present in everyone's heart as the Super Soul, Krishna. When you surrender unto Him, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarva Bhavena, unconditionally, by all means, if you surrender unto Him, what will happen? Tal Prasadal Param Shantim. By His Prasadam, by His being pleased with that, He will Param Shanti. The peaceful state will come to us in a natural way. Sthanam Prapsisi Shashodam. Krishna's words are very selective. He says Shashodam, eternal state, He will reach that state of peace. So, peaceful state, Krishna talks about there. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, there are three major yoga systems. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. Isn't it? Three processes are mentioned there. In addition to that, there is also one process called Dhyana Yoga. If you read in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we discussed. Isn't it? Actually, all these four yoga processes is meant to deal with four parts of our subtle body. Just like our subtle body is normally mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. I don't know what the English word for chittam is. Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. These four yoga systems are meant to change these four things inside us. Just like chittam is, for example, we execute karmam. Karmam stays in the form inside us, karma vasana. Isn't it? It stays in the form of vasanas, which generates another body later. Subtle body, what we call it inside, is a mixture of all these four things. Generally, we call this a subtle body, sushma shairam. So, sushma shairam has these four parts in that. Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. So, mind, you know, intelligence, mind is the one sangalpa vigalpam mana, which creates all sangalpam about different things. It is from sangalpam everything comes. That is the power of the mind. You see, mind is a very powerful thing, isn't it? You know, if you analyze mind, mind creates a sangalpam first. It is that sangalpam which later manifests in front of us as a particular object or a particular action, which all originates from that mind. Intelligence is the one which takes and decides. Nishyalpiya buddhi. Nishyalpiya buddhi. So that makes a decision is buddhi. And then we have got two more, which is ahangaram and chittam. Ahangaram is that where we have falsely identified with the body and thinking I am that. That's the ahangaram. I am that body and that misunderstanding. And chittam is that what we have created as vasanas and packed up and stored inside that. That is chitta. So, if you look into this Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, karma yogam is meant to purify this mind. All yoga systems have a principle behind it. It's not that just they have three, four choices he has given us. It's not that. We think that, oh I got a choice here. You know, it's just like in the supermarket. One of these you can take. It's not like that. Bhagavad Gita is not like that. Bhagavad Gita is saying, look at your subtle body where you require treatment and there you have this medicine for that. Mind purifies the karma. Or karma yogam purifies the mind. Jnana yogam purifies the intelligence. Jnana buddhi. Jnana yogam purifies the intelligence. Bhakti Yogam purifies the chittam. Bhakti Yogam purifies the chittam. And Dhyana Yogam purifies the, takes away the ahangaram. the false ego inside. This is the key behind it. It is on this principle Krishna has spoken these four yoga systems in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yoga purifies our mind. How does Karma Yoga purify the mind? Through Karma Yoga, the pure impurities, the impurities in our mind, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, will go. Raga Dvesham will go. That is what Karma Yoga does to us. Karma Yoga does to us. What does Jnana Yoga do? It purifies intelligence. How does it purify? Intelligence is trapped at the moment in matter. Isn't it? It's trapped in the matter. In order to pull the mind out, intelligence out of the matter and take into the transcendental level, you require what is known as Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is necessary for that, to pull you out from this trap of matter. Because when you are conditioned by the matter, you can only see things in a materialistic way. You cannot see things in a spiritual way. I gave you so many examples before. When Ganga River is flowing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shankaracharya goes and stands there and glorifies her to such a level above Mother Ganga. Why? They are only seeing the Ganga Devi there in that. Same thing with Yamuna also. Whereas scientists are going and standing there and saying to us, it is H2 and it is O, hydrogen and oxygen. This is the trap of the matter. Everything happens to us in this way. As we advance in this material science, we lose this subtle touch of the nature, how to understand nature. So that is where Jnana Yoga helps us to pull us out from that ignorance, to think in terms of matter, everything. Everything for us is matter now, isn't it? For us, everything is matter. Actually, everything is spirit. Matter is only because of this trap of the intelligence in the matter. Intelligence is trapped in the matter, therefore, we are seeing everything as matter. Matter. We'll come to that later. I'll tell you how that is connected with this verse, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, which we are discussing in the Ishavanishad. So, Jnana Yogam is directed to purify the intelligence. Karma Yogam is directed to purify the mind. Then we have this big problem inside, which is the vasanas, what we have brought with us from previous lifetimes, which is forcefully pushing us to act one way or the other in this world. And there you are helpless. You can't completely come out of it. Sometimes you can see, in life you can control certain things. Certain vasanas you can control. But certain times, you are helpless totally. You completely have no hold over it. Then you start thinking, why is it like this? I tried my best. In spite of that, I couldn't control myself. I'm still pushed by some unknown force from inside, pushing me to do something which I don't want to do. Isn't it? It happens to all of us. That is coming from the chittam. That is the power of that chittam. Chittam is nothing but vasana. And the only way to purify that vasanas inside is bhakti. Yes, bhakti. That's why bhakti yogam is directed towards chittam. Karma yogam is directed towards the mind. Jnana yogam is directed towards the intelligence. Then we have got the last one out of the four parts in the subtle body, which is the false ego. That false ego, Krishna says, gets purified through dhyanam, or the process of meditation which we discussed in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, like this, there is a whole science of the soul which Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita, and therefore it's given that importance to it. So, as I mentioned before, that peace is necessary. Peace is necessary. Shanti. Without Shanti, if one is not peaceful in life, it's pointless discussing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam with them. Constantly in aggravation inside and all kinds of disturbances. It is not possible. This requires that cool and calm mind to receive this message, what Krishna is talking about. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, if you can see here, that in the Yanamargam also they will say this, Shamam Damam Tidiksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam. After all this you have acquired, then come to here Krishna consciousness, about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, from day one itself, if you are full of enthusiasm to engage in karma and busy with karma, then it's a bit difficult. That's why sometimes we can see people, they get so caught up in the karma that they find it very hard to sit a few minutes and listen to something. So this issue, which is as far as the Krishna what talks about here, is that the Shandi is a first criteria where this message will get in much faster when the peace is there in someone. So, in relationship with this, you have to see this. Prabhupada explained this in one instance. He said that in the modern world, everything we want to change, isn't it? We want to change everything. Today we do something and tomorrow we are dissatisfied. Oh no, no, it requires another change. And then again next day another change. Constantly changing. If you have worked in the industry, you will know what it is like. When there is a lot of competition and constantly the companies have to compete each other. So constantly they have to change their policies. And you will see they will continuously companies, what do they say, constantly upgrading or changing their structure, stretching their management style, changing their policies, everything. And day after day, this is going on. And you can see it disturbs everyone's mind in the industry also. Those who work in the industry will know that. So this kind of changing is a disease. If you do that in spiritual life also, never ever you will get to understand what is Krishna consciousness. He said at one point, this is the biggest disease, he said, in this modern world. It's a disease that constantly you have to change everything. Why do we have to change? Why are we not satisfied? Why you're not satisfied inside? And then we give a twist to that this is a movement and it has to move from A to B or whatever. Well, this is all meaningless. This is not how it works. There is no need to move anything. We are sitting here, we can discuss about Krishna consciousness. There is no need to move anything. But that is not the way people, Prabhupada mentioned this, that this problem, he said, you want to change everything, you want to change everything, you want to change the books, you want to change the... Why? Why is this? Because inside that Shanti is not there. Therefore, this change is going on. Sages, they went to the forest, they didn't change anything. They stayed as they were. And in that state, they received the higher transcendental messages. Not by changing. Changing is a disease of the mind. Disturbed mind it is. That is where it's coming from. Everybody knows these things. Where this change is coming from. So, it is because of that we need Shandi. Shandi is the important thing Krishna is talking about. So, so Krishna says here that in these verses, in the Ishavanishad also, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinchat jagatyam jagat. How will this changing business stop? That is the important thing. How to stop this nature in us? The vasanas are so strong, it's compelling us to act, thinking that I have to change. Material nature is too powerful. It won't allow us to change. It won't allow us to do in our own way. It won't allow us to do things in our own way. Therefore, as I said before, that the Krishna controls everyone. Krishna controls everyone. Now, actually, sadhana means knowing this and living in that way. That is sadhana. Sometimes we misunderstand sadhana, isn't it? We continue to do things, we chant 16 rounds a day, the holy name, and then we think, oh, I've done my sadhana, now I'll do what I want to do. That's the way life goes on in most of the cases. So, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yadkinja jagatyam jagat. If we understand Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita properly, these misconceptions about these things must leave us. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says there in Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, you will see there in one chapter, Parigrahaya Dukhanam. All distress come from Parigraham, he says. Parigrahaya Dukhanam. While talking about the 24 spiritual masters, you will see there. If you understand the word parigraham, immediately you can see Krishna's point is very valid. Why? Let's understand it this way. You know the three things what we are stuck with. I'm thinking I'm this body. First thing, isn't it? I'm this body. Second thing, this body is mine. Second thing is, this body is mine. Third thing, I am thinking that this body is meant for my enjoyment. Body is meant for my enjoyment. Krishna's position is, you're not this body. This body is not yours. And this body is not meant for your enjoyment. Exactly three things opposite to our present concept. At the moment, our concept is like this. I'm this body. This body is mine. And this body is meant for my enjoyment. Krishna says, parigrahaya dukkhanam. In that one word, parigraham, Krishna has squared up everything. What does Krishna say? Why does he say like that? Everybody understands, if you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, you know that we are not this body. That's explained at least on a theoretical level very well. In the Bhagavad Gita, Kathopanishad, you will see that, get that message very well, that I am not this body. It's not very difficult to understand. But the body is not mine, that's a little hard for most of the people to accept it, isn't it? Somebody tells you, this is not your body, then you will think that the person has something gone wrong, really. This is not your body, if he says to you. But think about this in this way. Krishna's logic is this, that you, the person, how much control you had while taking birth. When the process of our birth happens, prior to that, all what has happened in relationship with father and mother, the sperm and the egg, when they met with each other, and then the development of the body inside the womb of the mother, all this, you have absolutely no control on any of those things, isn't it? You didn't make any choice at that time. Who is managing at that time everything? The material nature does that. Prakriti is doing it. And only at a certain stage later on in life, you start thinking that I am this body. When you are taking birth, at that point even, you are not declaring boldly that it's your body. No declaration comes from you, because all that is done in a natural way in this world by the prakriti. Material nature is doing it without asking you anything. It's doing everything. And you have no freedom also. You have no choice. We have no choice at that stage. We just carries on. The body comes on us and it takes a particular shape at a particular place, at a particular time, and it starts growing around us. It starts growing around us. Only at a much later date, due to when the avidya increases inside, that is when we identify with the body, thinking that it is my body. That comes much later. So if we reflect back into our birth and the time after birth, you can see that practically you had no control on the birth, nor the body was formed according to your desire or plan. It was planned by the material nature. Prakriti did everything. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, if you start taking this as your body, it will bring you distress. Parigrahaya dukkhanam. That is the word in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying this. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna says this. That you start thinking it is your body, you are in trouble. It is not your body. Body was created by material nature. And all through the life, according to the material nature's plan, the body develops. Body grows, stays in a particular way, acts in a particular way, and eventually disappears also without even asking you. And still, our avidya inside, ignorance is so deep-rooted, we say that the body is mine. This is called avidya. So, in order to free yourself from this, that is where jnanam comes, spiritual knowledge comes, to make us aware of that these fundamental things, this doesn't require big science to understand, isn't it? It doesn't require a big science to understand these things. It's just the logic behind it, that parigrahaya dukkhanam, as soon as you take ownership of the body, it will bring distress at some point or the other. Therefore, it said, you are not this body. Body is not yours. Body is not yours. And then, once you identify with these two, that I am this body and body is mine, the third thing will naturally follow. Which one? That I am meant to enjoy this in the body. This is how it has come to us. So these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages are reminding us to again that just by knowing Ishopanishad or this first verse in the Ishopanishad is not good enough, just memorizing the word. But we should see the message from that verse, what's coming forth. That's why it is said like this, that anything you see outside Ishvara, outside Krishna, that will all bring distress to you at the end. Will bring distress to you at the end. So what do we have to do? We have to reach that state where you don't see anything in this creation outside Krishna. Outside Krishna. That is why that verse was spoken. Ishvara sarvabhodanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati. Once we develop that understanding inside, seeing Krishna's presence in all the living entities, then you will know that it is only Krishna who is present in everyone, and tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata, to surrender unto him in that way. So first stage in that, to know how to see Krishna's presence in every living entity. In every living entity, living. So just like Prahlada did. You remember in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada did that first thing. He said there that inside everyone, Antaryami. Antaryami, Krishna is present in everyone. And Chaitanyam, the living force. And he looked outside and he says, all the plants are standing there. They are sprouting. The plants are coming out. And therefore, even the earth, the water, the fire, and plants, everything, Prahlada says, it's all Krishna who is present there. When this concept increases in us, when this understanding gets stronger in us, what will happen is that we will say that actually what is present everywhere is that living force or Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is present everywhere, not matter. As much as our understanding of the presence of Krishna in every living entity gets stronger, we will start recognizing what is present everywhere is that living force, Chaitanyam, and not matter. And not matter. It's a big step in spiritual life. Initially, we start with deity worship, chanting the holy name, deity worship. That, as I said before, that is for purifying. Bhakti is necessary for the chittam, to purify. But simultaneously, we have to move on up further in the spiritual realizations. And that first step in that realization is this. That is why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts that to us. These two verses. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhudani indrarudhani mayaya. Number one. Then tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata. After knowing that, surrender unto him. That Chaitanyam, living force, is present in everyone. So the sages told us that see everything in this world, whether it is water, the mountains, the river, or the earth, or the fire, whatever you see here, see that as Krishna's presence in that. Krishna's presence in that. So, then in that case, we will only see Krishna everywhere. We'll only see Krishna everywhere. But what the problem is, we don't have that drishti, that vision, we don't have at the moment. So therefore, Krishna says that therefore Shruti means Vedas. Shruti, out of its causeless mercy, compassion for us, it removes that cataract from our eye. The cataract is this, that we are seeing matter everywhere. We are not seeing Krishna anywhere. The living force, which is actually present everywhere. That's why that word also, verse, ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalagaya chakshur unmilidam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. What does it mean? It means this, ajnana timirandasya. I've got that cataract of ajnanam. Ajnana means ignorance in me. Jnana anjana shalagaya. I have operated, it has to be operated with the knife, the sword of knowledge. Jnananjana shalagaya. Chakshur, in that case, my eyes will umiridam yena. It will get that proper vision to see things as they are, as Chaitanyam, as Krishna's presence, everyone. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Spiritual master who has shown me that, openly to understand what is in this world, what's this world, and to him I pay my obeisances. That is that verse talking about. So just like, you know, when we have the cataract, they have this laser treatment these days, isn't it, for the eye. So in the laser they apply a laser beam, and it removes, like a surgery, it removes that and gives us a clear vision. In the same way that Upanishads are doing also the same thing. Upanishads are doing the same thing. So this laser is what Krishna, is what the Vedas are telling us, that nothing exists in this creation outside Krishna. Only Krishna exists. Outside Krishna, nothing exists. And cover everything in this world with Krishna. Once we do that, we will see that it's Krishna who is present in everything. Nothing else. Only Krishna is present in everything. It's interesting, if you analyze this in the Chadishlogi Bhagavatam also, the first verse, Aham evasam eva agre nanyadil sadasal param paschad aham yade dacha yovashishyata swasmiham. This is the first verse, isn't it? Krishna is saying there, this is the first thing what Krishna told Brahma. It's a very subtle verse also, in the sense, look at it this way. In the beginning Krishna says, it's only me existed. What does it mean? It's only Chaitanyam or the living force that existed. That consciousness, awareness, that existed. From that awareness, everything else has come. Everything else has come, manifested. Mind came, intelligence came, and modes of material nature came. So many things came from that. At the end, all of them disappear, and what remains is only the awareness. What remains is only the awareness, which means the consciousness, awareness or consciousness remain. In the beginning there is only consciousness, in the end also there is only consciousness. Then how come all the other things manifested in the middle? The moment the mind was created, mind came out from that consciousness or from awareness, immediately the existence of the world also happened. Isn't it? So, as soon as the mind goes away, this world doesn't exist after that. Isn't it? Just like you can see, due to the presence of the mind, you are experiencing this world. Happiness, distress, you are experiencing due to the presence of the mind. You are experiencing the sunshine or the bad wintry weather, or what we curse about the rain, or whatever you are doing, experiencing. All this is due to the presence of the mind inside. And the mind has happened in the middle. When the mind came out, the world was created. When the mind goes off, the world is finished. The world doesn't exist after that. That is why that verse is saying, in the beginning it's only me. In the end also it's only me. In the middle all these things happen because of the presence of the mind. That is the clear decision on that verse, because from that verse Krishna is explaining to Brahma that when the creation process goes on, what we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that at different stages so many different kinds of creations happen, isn't it? Primary creation, secondary creation, all that you find there. But the very process of creation itself is through the mind, is through the mind. Mind is the subtle element from that all these things have come about. All these things have come about. It's something worthwhile thinking about, because many times on a gross level we will read Bhagavatam on a gross state and we'll start thinking, when did Krishna create 4 billion years ago? And when, how long did that creation last? Say, few billion years. And then after that there was a devastation. And then, this is the way Puranas present it to us. But the tattvam behind it is this, that when the mind comes, creation comes. When the mind goes, creation goes. If that much we understand, we'll understand the principle behind it. So, here, Krishna says, in order that the mind to go, there's only one way, because so long as you have the mind will tell you that all this thing is good, this thing is bad, all these things are existing, the creation is the truth. And so much false analysis will come and we will fall into the trap of the mind. That is called the mental trap. But once we are freed from the trap of the mind, we will know it, that nothing is real in this world. Everything is false. That all we think today as real, tomorrow it doesn't have any existence. Tomorrow it doesn't have any existence. So that's why it is mentioned like that. So therefore, so what we have done is that we have taken everything away from Krishna, and we are saying that what, and we have covered Krishna with everything else. With the creation, we have covered Krishna. We are not seeing Krishna anymore, we are only seeing the creation. Actually, creation doesn't exist, it's Krishna who exists. It's Krishna who exists, not the creation. This is that big Maya we are in. Maya's role, job is this. She has convinced us completely, Krishna doesn't exist, world exists. When we start seeing, world doesn't exist, Krishna exists, then that what means we are seeing the living force, Chaitanyam everywhere. Chaitanyam everywhere. So that is why in that verse if you see, Ishavasyamidam sarvam, that is the first line in that verse, isn't it? Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Why? Because if you start seeing like this, that Ishvara, Krishna is present in everything, then little by little you will lose this reality of the world. What you are thinking is real today, you will lose it. You will. That's therefore Krishna says, cover everything, Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Cover everything with Krishna. Cover everything with Krishna. It's only Krishna who is present, nothing else. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. So, so when you don't do that, when you don't do like that, what we have done at the moment is that we have covered Krishna with the world, isn't it? With the world, we have covered Krishna. We don't see. And then we are asking, where is Krishna? That's the question we are asking. Where is Krishna? We can't see him. Then we go here, there, looking for him. But Upanishad says to us, it's only Krishna who is present. What's required is correction here, in the eye. That what you are seeing is the false, wrong thing you are saying. Actually, it's only Krishna who is present. Krishna means that awareness or the soul who is present in everyone. That's all the reality is. The other things are all false. So, in order to stress that point, so when you do not see Krishna in everywhere, what happens? Everything is different, different, different. Isn't it? The buildings, the living entities, all, everyone is different. Why? You're only seeing the body there and start, you're not seeing Krishna there. You're only seeing the body and saying, ah, this name, this form, this name, this form, like this. And you keep on increasing the multiplicity of this, what you are seeing here in the creation. And that is where we are stuck today. We are stuck in that state. We are unable to come, unable to see the subtle side of it, what Upanishad is talking to us. Ishavasamidam sarvam yad kinja jagatyam jagat, it says. Whole universe, it says, whole universe, it's only Krishna. Ishavasamidam sarvam yad kinja jagatyam jagat. And after saying that, he mentions here that the that one, when one develops bhakti, Krishna consciousness, in other words, this vision of the world will change. Purification will happen. Yat kinja jagatyam jagat. And therefore he says, tena tektena bunjida ma grada kasya sildhanam. Also saying that, so if you look into Vedic literature, you will see in the Puranas, for this reason only, all elements in the material world is worshipped. Have you noticed that? In the Puranas, Agni, fire is worshipped, water is worshipped, earth is worshipped, air is worshipped, sky is worshipped. As elements, they are worshipped. Why? To bring this concept into our mind. That was the reason. There's no other reason. That to see everything what you see as Krishna, then you got out of the problem. That that means Chaitanyam or the force, living force, is present in everyone. If you see that in all the material elements, then slowly this vision will go away of seeing as matter, and it will become as a vision of the soul. Vision of the soul. So that is the first step in that direction. In that direction. So therefore what they did, the sages, they taught us certain things, how to do this. If you know probably that in the past, in the olden days, As soon as one got up from the bed, he paid respect to the Mother Earth first thing. Why? Padasparsham Kshamasva. See Krishna's presence there in the earth. Is Krishna is present there? I'm going to put my feet on your body. Please forgive me for that. Saying that, they touch the ground and put it on their head. Just as a respect. People today are thinking, what's all this nonsense? Why we have to do all these things, kind of things? Earth is there for me to walk and kick football around that. That's what earth is meant for. That's how we think, tend to think like this. Is a misconception that's coming from. Puranas do it in such a nice way that if we train our life in that way, Purana says to us, if you train your mind in this way, you will slowly start seeing it's only Chaitanyam living force present everywhere, not the matter. Not the matter. So to do that, what they have done, they have told us that wherever you see, you pay, consider that as Krishna's presence and deal with it in that way. So they have said everything is Krishna present. Similarly, they told us when you go and see water in the rivers and the lakes and all that, don't spit in the water. Don't spit in the water or don't pollute the water in any way, because that's Krishna. This way, seeing Krishna's presence in everything, in the earth, in the water. And in the same way, also all the plants as well, in the same way. That's all. Like Tulsi Devi is worshipped. She is the Jagadishwari, isn't it? That Krishna's consort. Why do we worship her? To bring this concept in us, that it is Krishna who is present there, in that body also. So in this way, worshipping the plants, William, you know, that is also worship in the same way, in deity worship and all that. So many plants are worshipped. So all this worship of plants, worship of water, worship of the earth, worship of air, Vayudeva, they are called Devadas, isn't it? Agni, Vayu, all are Devadas in the Vedas. They are all Devadas, personified forms. Why? To bring this concept there, that Krishna is present there. The Chaitanyam, the living force, is present there. So, what has happened is, so you can see, if you analyze it this way, what a glorious thing the Puranas have done by bringing this concept into us. Yeah. On the other hand, what has the science done? Science has done exactly the opposite. It has made us to think, oh, no, it is not, there's nothing there. Water you take, it is hydrogen and oxygen. Air, it is nitrogen and CO2, isn't it? Nitrogen is 80% or something, and CO2 is about 10%, and remaining is other gases, small percentage. So everything Puranas taught us to respect and to cover it with Krishna's presence, science has come and told us there is nothing there, it's only chemicals and it's nothing but a combination of chemicals. Water, why you have to respect water? It's only hydrogen and oxygen at the end of the day. Why do you have to care? This is the attitude of the science. When they see the air, what is there to talk about air so much? Air is 80% nitrogen, 10% CO2, carbon dioxide, and remaining is carbon monoxide and a few other gases like this. So wherever Puranas have trained us to think in one particular way, to see Krishna's presence in everything, in that way cover everything and come out of this ignorance of matter, Puranas are instructing us to see the Chaitanyam or the living force in everything. When we say see Krishna, means that living force, the soul's presence in everything. In that way, you can come out of that ignorance. That is what that ignorance Krishna is talking about here. That ajnanam, what is that ajnanam? Ajnanam is this, seeing everything as matter. That is the ajnanam in us. So, in order to get out of that ignorance, ajnanam, the only way you can do is this process what Puranas have spoken to us. So, as a way of life, it has developed. In the Puranic times, Puranas are developed in that way. On the other hand, what the science have done, science has come and completely changed the whole thing. Made us to start thinking there is nothing much about it. And we started saying to each other that where we were trained to see divinity in the creation, it started saying to us, it has brought us back again to the level of matter. Puranas took us to the level of divinity in seeing in the creation. To see divinity in creation, science has pulled us back again to the material level of matter. So that is the greatest misfortune. It is the greatest misfortune. And it also taught us the earth is nothing but matter. It is just a solid earth. And we started repeating this. We learned this science and we started repeating this. So, and then what did we do? We started saying all those sages who have made all this kind of conclusions, they are all stupid. They don't understand anything. We understand better. We started questioning them after that, isn't it? We have found out something new, what they didn't know. What the sages didn't know. We have found out that. We are more clever. And then we start specifying everything. This is this chemical, this is that chemical, this is that chemical. And we started saying the effect of that. And this is called Maya. This is called Maya. The effect of all this is, it's called Maya. Because temporarily you will think you got it. Tomorrow you will lament for what you have understood, how you were cheated by the Maya. How you are cheated by Maya. So, because after a while, you will start realizing it was all foolishness, what you have learned in this way. So, instead of seeing that one awareness, which is the soul, present in everything, instead, we started breaking up, and seeing the matter, so many planets, so many universes, and endlessly searching where is the truth, what is the truth, never get to know anywhere near to the truth. So, artificial life we are trying to create now, in the same way, isn't it? Artificially we want to create the cells, and as long as we keep on in this direction, the processes will also get very complex. And the problems will develop in a very serious way. So, therefore, it is said like this, that instead of, Shastram is telling us, there is only one thing, one. What is that? The soul. The soul is the only thing that exists. From there came everything else. And due to our ignorance, we have accepted all this manifestation in this world. When, through seeing the presence of the soul in everything, as our ignorance leaves us, all this separate entities, existence will go away. We'll come back to that state where we will recognize the presence of the soul in everything. And that position is this Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, what we are talking about. Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, Krishna says, in the Upanishad says, Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat, nothing else exists in this world, in this creation. In Jagat, nothing else exists except Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Sarvam is Ishvara, Krishna, nothing else. And yet Kinja Jagatyam Jagat, if you are trying to break it away, Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrida Kasusiddhanam, then the only way to come to that realization, Upanishad is saying to us, this first verse in the Ishavasyamidam is so important. It is such an important verse. The whole Upanishad is centered around this first verse. That tena tektvena bhunjita. That by recognizing that everything here is that same thing which has manifested in another form, you should know your position, what you are, and accept only what is necessary for living in this world. There is no other right we have over anything. It is Krishna who is present in everything in this world. That's why I say, Tena Tektuena Bunjida, Magrida Kasasil Dhanam. Otherwise, you are a thief, it says. You are a thief. So, saying that, it says here that Shruti Vedas is trying to bring us back to this concept again. What we have lost. Puranas taught us how to see things properly. Science came and disturbed our mind and told us everything is matter. Vedas is telling us, come back to that state again and life becomes a lot easier. We will see that properly. That's why it says here, Ishavasyam Ityadi. I'll read through that commentary. Ishavasyam Ityadi. Ishavasyam. Ishavasyam means only Ishvara is. Vasyam means he lives in everything. Ishavasyam Ityadi. Isha Ishta Idesha Tenesha. that his presence is that what is more important than anything else. Ishida Parameshwaraha Paramatma Sarvasya. Everything is the Supreme Person, the Supreme Truth, who is present in everything. Paramatma Sarvasya. In everything, that's him who exists. Yahi Sarva Abhishte Sarva Jandunam Atma San Pratyag Atmadaya Tenasvena Rupena Atmanesha Vasya Achadaniyam. Says here, Yahi Sarva Abhishte Sarva Jandunam Atmanam. In all living entities, Sarva Jandu, all living entities, Atmanam, he is present there. San Pratyag Atmadaya Pratyag Atma. Pratyag Atma means one. Krishna, when you are, he is present inside you as the soul, and who is experiencing this world, he is Pratyagatma. These words are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have talked about that before. Pratyagatma, what Pratyagatma means. Pratena Svena Rubena Atmaneya Atmanesha Vasyam Achadaniyam. In order to Tena Svena Rubena, that to come to that proper understanding, he says here, Vasyam Achadaniyam. You have to cover the whole creation with that soul. With that soul which is Krishna. The soul which is Krishna. We won't understand these things unless we study Ishopanishad. Otherwise we will continue to think that Krishna is at the temple. I am living in Stanmore. And I will go and see him at the temple. Where else he exists. This state we will be stuck there. We won't move from there. But Upanishads are taking us and telling us that it is not like that. That he says here, Tena Svena Rupena Atmaneya Atmanesha Vasyam Achadaniyam. Achadaniyam means you have to cover everything. Cover everything with the soul. And Kim, why? Because Idam Sarvam, everything, Yad Kincha Jagatyam Prithivyam, this Jagat, this Prithivi, this earth, Jagat Tasmar Tat Sarvam, Svena Atmaneshena Pratyag Atmadaya Ahame Vedam Sarvamidi Paramarthasya Paramartha Satyarupena Avrutamidam Sarva Charajaram Achadaniyam Svena Paramatmana. That is the Harsham. Harsham, his commentary is like this, that all this creation, when you cover that with the soul and your realization builds up from that, that is perfect. Achadaniyam. Achadaniyam means to cover everything with that. He says, Achadaniyam. Pratyagatmadaya ahameva vedam. Ahameva vedam sarvamidi. Pratyagatma, Krishna is present in everyone as Pratyagatma. He is present in everyone as Pratyagatma. If you remember, in the Prahlada story, all these things are there. That is why that seventh canto is very important. In the Bhagavadam, if you study seventh canto properly, you will know lot of things. Srinarada Maharshi instructing Prahlada while in the womb. And this is this knowledge, what he is instructing there. Pratyagatma. As Pratyagatma, Krishna is present in everyone, in every living entity. It is possible, he says, to cover everything as Krishna. Krishna means the soul. To cover everything as the soul and see there that the Paramartha Surubena Paramartha Surubena Anurudamidam. Everything else, if you see it as truth, it is Anurudam. Anurudam means it's actually false. Anurudamidam. But Anurudam means falsity. So Anurudamidam, in order to see the truth in there, cover it with the Paramatma. Paramartha Surubena. It is Paramatma who is present there. Krishna is present there. Paramarthamidam and Surumidam Sarva Charajaram Achadaniyam. All Charajaram. Moving and non-moving. Charajaram means moving and non-moving. Achadaniyam. All of that should be covered with the soul. Krishna is present in everything, in other words. If that happens, Krishna says here, if Achadaniyam. And then what happens? Surubhenada Charajaram Achadaniyam Svena Paramatmanam. Svena Paramatmana. After saying that, you will see that to cover the whole world as to see that as the soul is a difficult thing, isn't it? To cover the whole world with soul. Atmasarupam. Atmasarupam means to see everything, nothing but soul. That's the most difficult thing for all of us. Just like once it so happened that to give you an example, what we are doing, our mistake. You know, in Mumbai, space is premium, isn't it? You to get a small flat in Mumbai costs so much money, and it's so difficult to find a place. So once we went to one house in Mumbai, and they invited us, and he was living in a very, very small flat, one bedroom, kitchen, bathroom, that's it. Bedroom, living room, everything that. It's very tight for the space there. And it's also very expensive. You have to rent properties there, isn't it? So we were invited there, a few of us from Bombay, and we went there to somebody's house. So when we went there, what happened was that he said that today, that was a special day. He was going to have some special offering and some kirtan and some program in his house. So when we went to his house, we looked everywhere. There was no photographs, deities, nothing there. I said, well, how are we going to conduct this program in this small little room? There was no space at all. So the way they were living was that they had a huge television. So it was getting late, nothing was happening. So we were asking him that, when are you going to start the program? He said, this will start now, and we have not seen anything there. So what is, he came and he moved the television. And when the television opened, then he opens one cupboard-like thing, and inside there is all these deities and paraphernalia, everything for the deity worship. So obviously what he does is, he moves the television and does his deity worship and program, and then closes the gate and moves the television back. Puts the television back. So what he has done is, basically, he has covered Krishna with the television. With the television. And this same problem what we have also, only thing is we are not recognizing this. In this creation, it is Krishna who is present everywhere in everyone. In everyone, in every living entity, whether moving or non-moving, is all Krishna. But what do we see? We've taken Krishna out of it and we are seeing the rest. The television we are seeing, not Krishna there. In that is how it is. Reality is like that. It's just an example to see how in normal life we can make such a mistake in our own daily life. That shows that person who has not understood that Krishna is every present everywhere. Nothing else is present in this creation. It's Krishna who is present. When we understand it like that, we have also to learn, we have to cover this world with Krishna. And instead, we have covered Krishna with the world. Isn't it? We have covered the world with Krishna. Instead of covering the world, we have covered Krishna with the world instead of covering the world with Krishna. Now, we see only the world. We are only seeing the world. And so, actually, what we are seeing is the world, and then we are asking, who created this world? This is the more interesting side of it. After seeing the person there, instead of seeing him there, we are seeing all these things. This is how spiritual life begins. In the beginning stage, all these are questions in our mind, isn't it? I'm living here. Where is Krishna? I'm looking for him, not found. Found him anywhere. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Kavi Maharshi answers this nicely. You know that, huh? That the Krishna says there, that the in the Bhagavatam, the verses is, that's why the subtlety of Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. As much as you start reading this, you will see here, in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, when Kavi Maharshi started talking I think it is in the yes, canto 11, you will see there in the where we talk about the presence of Krishna's presence, how one should see Krishna's presence in this world. He talks about that here, that the kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha, there is a verse which begins with that, kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha janeshu. Okay. Yes, here we go. Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattva nidisho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinja bhutam pranamedananyaha. Kavi Maharshi is saying here, you remember Kavi's discussions with who? With King Nimi. And the question was that the a devotee, when his vision has changed, when he has purified himself and come to change, his consciousness has happened in him. His consciousness has changed. When the consciousness has changed, what happens? He is seeing this world all the time. But what is he seeing there? Kham vayum agnim salilam mahim cha. Kham means sky. Vayu is the air. Agni is the fire. Salilam is the water. Mahim, the earth. All of them. Jodim shi sattvani disho drumadin. All the planets, what he is seeing there. And all directions, whatever it is present there. Sattvani disho drumadin. Saril samudram shahare. That all the samudram, the oceans, all the rivers, everything, all seen as Krishna's body. He is seeing as Krishna's body. This is vision. This is the proper vision. Saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjabudam pranamed ananyaham. Nothing else exists in this creation. You can imagine when Kavi is saying this, Kavi Maharshi is saying this to King Nimi, that a devotee has to reach this state at some point. You can't keep thinking that I am doing my seva, I am doing chanting my holy name. That's fine. That is the upasana part of it. Sadhana side, to purify chittam inside. As I mentioned before, that the chanting process, to get rid of the vasanas inside. As I said before, certain things, even with your best effort, you can't get it out from inside. That is the nature. Why? Because it's so deep-rooted inside. Vasanas are so deep-rooted inside. You know that, what I'm saying, isn't it? Certain things in this world, we have certain habits or we have certain nature in us, very difficult to change, isn't it? We can't change it. It's our nature. And that nature, you can think about it, you can use your own willpower to overcome that. You can use your own willpower to overcome that. But still you know that you can't get rid of it from inside. Different ways. Some people have on a gross level, you can say some people have attraction for opposite sex in some way, or men for women and women for men. And this is in certain cases, like Vilamangalam's case. If you remember, Vilamangalam had this big problem in his mind. He couldn't get rid of it. He was constantly lamenting about that. And he first he had attraction for Chindamani, his own wife, and later on towards other women. And so many instances you will find in the history like this. They want to overcome. He knew it was wrong thing. It's not good for a spiritual life. But purva vasana inside is so strong, very difficult to uproot it from inside. Similarly, we all have something like that in different ways. Some people have terrible anger inside, isn't it? They don't want to get angry, but every morning by 10 o'clock they'll be fired up, ready to fight the world. It's difficult for them to get out of it. It's just the vasana inside is so strong. So, similarly, certain people have such strong desires inside. Asakti means very strong, excessive attachment for something. This is attachment. Then unable to pull out of it. Unable to pull out of it. Now, why is it like that? These are what is known as deep-rooted vasanas came through many, many lifetimes. And that is in the chittam, and that is where bhakti yogam has to work. Bhakti is necessary for us to come out of that. So here, if you will see here, that the as much as when kham vayu magnim salilam mahim cha jodim shi sattvani disho drumadin. A devotee who has wanted to escape from this deep-rooted vasanas inside, when his chittam is getting purified, what will happen to him is, he has followed Ishobanicha's principle. He has started covering everything with Krishna. When you see the sky, it is Krishna who is present there in the sky. When he sees the water, rivers flowing, it is Krishna who is flowing there as a river. In everything, the presence of the soul. That is what Kavi Maharshi is saying here. Jyodimshi sattvani disho drumadin. Then saril samudram shahare shariram. Even oceans, he is looking at it, it is Krishna's body. He says it is Krishna's body it is. Saril samudram shahare shariram. And what does he do? Yal kinjabudam praname dananyaha. That it is only Krishna who is present, and he pays his obeisances to the ocean, obeisances to the sky, obeisances to the river, water, obeisances everywhere, obeisances. That stage will happen in a natural way, Krishna says, when one covers everything and sees the presence of the soul in everything. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen otherwise. So, how important it is that when we relate with other living entities, when we relate with other living entities, how careful we have to be. As soon as we know that there is causing disturbances, we have to learn to pull out from there. We don't have to continue that relationship. I'll give you the best example. In the day, in Mahabharata war, Abhimanyu was killed. You know that, huh? That story. Abhimanyu was killed. Jayadratha killed Abhimanyu. Jayadratha was a distant relative of Duryodhana. He killed Abhimanyu in a cheating way. It was not a very straightforward. There are rules in the war. It is not like the war nowadays, how it goes on without any consideration, killing each other. That was not the principle. But they had, in the war also, they had law. So they had to follow the law, and they didn't follow the law. So, knowing very well how powerful Abhimanyu was as a fighter, they decided to cheat and kill him. There's a cheat and kill him. So Karna, Duryodhana and few others got together, and using Jayadratha killed Abhimanyu. And that day, among the Pandavas, great distress happened. Because Arjuna's son, isn't it? Arjuna was very attached. Abhimanyu was a first-class Kshatriya. And that power of fighting was in him from the very beginning. And a first-class soldier he was. So it was a big loss for Arjuna as well as for Subhadra and others as well. Uttara also. So, at that time, Uttaradevi wanted to give up her body. Uttaradevi wanted to give up her body. Krishna told Uttaradevi, don't do that, because inside you, there is Parikshit Deva. And it's a great personality inside. For his sake, at least, you should live in this world. So, Uttara was actually prevented from giving up the body by Krishna insisting on her not to do it. Anyway, that's another thing. What happened was, Jayadratha killed Abhimanyu, and Arjuna took the vow next day before the sun sets, I will make sure that the person who killed Abhimanyu, because they killed him cheating, and therefore I'm going to kill him, I'll get his head from there. He took this vow. And the war continued the next day morning, and this whole discussion happened in the evening after the death. In the evening this discussion happened, and Arjuna took this vow next day before the sunset, I will make sure that Abhimanyu is the person who has killed Abhimanyu, his head I'll bring it over here. So the next day the war started. So knowing very well that Arjuna has taken this vow, the Kauravas decided at any cost to protect Jayadratha that day. To protect Jayadratha. That was the whole plan for that day from the Kaurava side. So what they did, they formed a special style, a special particular vyuham, they call it, Padma vyuham or something, in a particular formation of the army in such a way that you couldn't get to Jayadratha at any way. He was protected from all sides, from all angles he was protected. So when Arjuna told Krishna, take the chariot to Jayadratha, Krishna couldn't take the chariot there because on the way he had to deal with Bhishma, he has to deal with Drona and many, many other people who were challenging Arjuna to fight on his way to Jayadratha. At that time, Krishna says to Arjuna one interesting thing. It has spoken not only in relationship with Mahabharata war, but it is actually spoken in relationship with spiritual life. You may wonder why it is so important. In the Mahabharatam, it says like this. When Bhishma came forward to fight with Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, don't fight with Bhishma now. Don't fight with him. Pay your obeisances and move away from here. Tell him that you are not ready to fight with him at the moment. So everyone who were coming forward to fight with Arjuna, Krishna keeps giving this advice to Arjuna, don't fight now. Why? The goal is something else. Jayadrata. If you get stuck with Bhishma and Drona today, your promise is not going to happen tomorrow evening or this evening. What you have promised that you will kill Jayadrata, it won't happen. A great message is there in these words of Krishna. What is that message? Message is this. In spiritual life also, when you get in spiritual life, lot of people will come to you with various problems and they will create problems in one way or the other. If you get stuck with them, then you are stuck there. You won't reach the goal. Goal is something different. What's that goal? Goal is that before you leave this body, you want to realize what am I? Who am I? What is my identity? Self-realization is the goal. But if you get stuck in battling with all the people in this world, in one way or the other, eventually you won't reach the destination, you will get lost in that process. In that, you will leave this world without any success. This is the reason why that story, the incident in Mahabharatam is only to tell us this. Everything has a spiritual connection. It is not just history Mahabharatam is telling us. That even in spiritual life even, that if you are finding all kinds of obstructions coming from different places, you just have to learn how to pull out and move away from there, from that state. It's not going to help, because that is not what we are here for. We have to understand that in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, much higher values and truth is spoken. If we waste our time on petty things in this world, then we will be stuck with those petty things. We won't get to the message what is spoken there. Our goal is Krishna consciousness. So that is why in a devotee's possession has to know from Bhagavatam, kam vayum agnim salilam mahim cha and jani jyotim cha sattvani dishodramadin haril samudram cha hare shariram yalkinja bhutam praname dananyaham. That as much as we see this world, keep covering that with Krishna as the soul, it will not cause problem. If you keep covering everything with Krishna, it will not cause any problem. But the moment we start thinking we have to sort this out and sort that out, we will be stuck there in that process and time will be wasted from that. So Krishna says here that seeing this, settle samudramcha hare shariram, knowing that all of these things is Krishna's body, yal kinjamudam pranamed ananyaha, not seeing them anything separate from Krishna, continuously pay your obeisances to all of them, like Arjuna did to Bhishma. Arjuna says, my obeisances to you, but I'm not fighting with you now, I have something else to do. In this way, Krishna takes Arjuna away from everybody and bring him closer to Jayadrata. That is charioteer's duty. One who is riding the chariot, this is the main duty of to do what he is supposed to do and to help the person who is fighting the war and take him to the right place where he has to continue with the fight. And Krishna takes Arjuna from everybody else. By giving one excuse or the other, Krishna pulled out from everybody and took Arjuna to close to Jayadrata, and Jayadrata was killed that night. Although it took time, Krishna had to hold the sun planet for a while so that it doesn't get dark, to hold Arjuna's, keep Arjuna's words true. So such is the principle of spiritual life as well, as Krishna says there. That bhakti paresha anubhavo virakti anyatra jai kshatriyam ekakalam prabadhyamanase yadasnadasyu stushti pushti shudavayanukhasam. That when one sees like this the world, what will happen is bhakti paresha anubhavo virakti anyatra jai kshatriyam ekakala. That this is called bhakti. When you start seeing Krishna's presence in everything, and you are relating with this world in that particular way, as presence, Krishna's presence, that is bhakti. That is the definition in the Bhagavadam. Bhakti's definition is like that. Bhakti pareshanibhavo virakti anyatra chaishatriyam ekakalam. Same time, when this knowledge is developing inside, virakti will come from this world, because attachment to matter slowly goes away from inside. We have strong attachment to matter, isn't it? Why? Because our vision is contaminated at the moment. Matter is reality for us. Spirit soul is not reality. Matter is reality. But when bhakti increases, pareshanibhavo virakti. When bhakti brings this purity inside, when we cover the whole world, creation with Krishna, creation with the soul, we start seeing things as they are, and that will bring detachment from the matter. Virakti will come from that. Bhakti, paresha, ishanubhavo, virakti, anyatra, chaishatriyam, egakalam. All these things will happen at the same time. Prabadhyamanasi yada ashnadasyu. How? Just like a person who is hungry, when you give him a meal, what will happen to him? Tushti pushti chudava yanukhasam. Three things happen at the same time. One, he is satisfied. Then his body develops strength. And then he also gets relief from hunger. Three things are happening, isn't it? When you are very hungry, when you have a meal, what happens? Three things happen. Tushti, you feel satisfied. Pushti, body gets some strength. Chudava yanukhasam. That hunger goes away also. All the three things happen at the same time. Similarly, Krishna says here that when devotee develops this consciousness and starts seeing Krishna's presence in everything, saril samudram shahare shariram. This is all Krishna who is present, nothing else is present in this world. Yal kincha bhudam praname dhananyaha. All you will do is continuously fall down and pay your obeisances to everything in this creation. In that way, you have no more connection with everything. You are completely freed from the conditioning of Maya. Maya has released you at that point. That is the proof of that. When we come to that state, that we are able to pay respects and obeisances to every living entity, moving or non-moving, and seeing Krishna's presence there in everything, saril samudramscha hare shariram, yal kincha bhudam praname dhananyaha, that they are not separate from Krishna. This is the realization. The sea, the oceans, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, plants, birds, bees, other species, none of them are separate from Krishna. They are all Krishna who is present there. Yal kincha bhudam praname dhananyaha, that and offering our obeisances to them. So that is the state Kavi Maharshi has spoken there. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That the that's all Krishna's body. I am not separate from that, and is not separate from that. And in that way, because it is that bodham, awareness which is present in me inside, is the same thing which is outside also. And it is that same bodham, same awareness. You see, sadhranananda avabhodham. Avabhodham means that awareness inside us that is manifested in all this form. In all this form, what we see outside. And knowing this is actually paying obeisances to that. Knowing that. Elkinjabhudam pranamedananya means that knowing that it is the same soul who is present in me inside, what Krishna has spoken. Krishna said, in every living entity I am present. So when I start realizing that it is me who it is that soul who is present inside me, from whom the awareness comes to me of my existence. You say, I am existing, I am there, I am, ahamasmi. Which, where is that coming from? It's coming from that soul, isn't it? Soul who is present inside. So from the same source, all this creation has also come out. When we realize that, automatically you realize that there is only Chaitanyam or living force present inside. So, and this is the state which has to happen in experience. This is not, you can't have this by explaining this. With intelligence you can't capture this, can you? You can't capture this with intelligence. Intelligence can tell you all these things, but you have to experience that, and it is at stage where Krishna says, Tripudi goes away. Tripudi means You see three things now. The seer, the process of seeing, and the object what you are seeing. This is called Tripudi. In the Shastram, the word used is Tripudi. Tripudi means three things. You are existing now, the person who is seeing, and there is a process of seeing something, and there is an object which you are seeing. Today that is our state, isn't it? In this world, when we are living now, we have this Tripudi in us, is it not? We see whole day different people, different living entities and everything. And every time I am thinking in my mind, I am seeing, and I see the process of seeing that, and I see the object what I am seeing. In my mind, it brings back some impression in me of the object what I have seen. Depending, either I have ragam and duesham towards that object, in whichever way it is. All this is the world, isn't it? The world is nothing but all these things. From morning to night, what else is happening? We are seeing, meeting people, we are developing relationships, positive or negative, whichever way it is, and the night we go to sleep, the whole thing is finished. World is over. Next morning, again, the world opens up. Second day. So, day after day after day, what's happening? World appears, world goes away. World appears, world goes away. Every day, it's happening. So, where does this world appear? It appears in that consciousness, in the awareness, it's happening. With the help of mind, mind opens up the world, mind closes the world. When the mind closes, the world is closed. When the mind opens, the world opens. Isn't it? This is how it works. That's why he says here that it is the mind which is where the world is. Once it so happened that a great sage was living in a holy place, and a person who from America, he was looking for spiritual life. He was looking for spiritual life. And he has traveled many places. He was inquiring, trying to find out whom should I talk to. He was looking for knowledge, looking for self-realization. Genuinely, they were looking for that. So he came and he traveled all over and eventually ended up with this person, this Mahatma there in the ashram. So he had a lot of questions he came to ask him. He asked all that questions, and ultimately he asked this question to this Mahatma, would you mind if I ask you one question, he said. So the Mahatma said, what is that? He says, I would like to take you to America with me, and if you could come with me and we could run some program there and talk to other people, because there's a lot of people who are looking in this spiritual direction in life. So this Mahatma told him, where is America? He says, where is this America? In the morning when we wake up, America comes. In the evening, America goes. Whether I am here or there, where is America? So America, everything is inside you. It's not there. You are thinking that America is this time, space, how it cheats us. This is the point I'm trying to bring about. We misunderstand that America is some country somewhere far away from here, few thousand miles away. And or India is far away from here. Practically speaking, America, India, it's all inside you. It, when it manifests, you feel, yes, it's there, so many miles away. On a bodily level, they are all that. But once the body goes, and once the mind goes, neither America exists nor India exists. They have come because the mind has come from inside. The mind is telling you, America exists here, India exists there. So this is the important point. In Tripudi, you feel all these things, in the state of Tripudi. Tripudi means this relationship with this world. I am existing, world existing, and there's a process of seeing all this. We have to come out of the bodily identity to a large degree to understand what Upanishads are saying to us. This is why Upanishads insists that before you come to understand this Krishna consciousness, this philosophy of Upanishads, you have to change our way of thinking to a very high degree. Very high degree. At the moment, everything for us is matter. We are very concerned about time. We are very concerned about space. Time, space, all these things are very important for us, isn't it? But practically, when you start going inward looking and start seeing how all these things has come from the mind, you start seeing the whole source of all this is nothing but the mind. It's from there everything has originated. Today you are seeing America is somewhere else, I should go there to do some. America is here right now. India is here right now. And if this is not there, India is not there, America is not there either. Is there? If this mind is not there, where is India? Where is America? So where is India and America packed up? It's inside this. This is the point. And this concept is called Tripudi. Tripudi means, from Tripudi comes all this creation, all this existence, awareness of all these things, matter, everything. As much as one go inward looking and start observing the mind very carefully, Krishna, which talks about in the Akasha Skandham, very, very, very much so, that we start seeing the reality is that nothing exists in this world outside me. It's in me that everything is existing. It's called Brahmandam and Pindandam, they call it. Brahmandam is the whole universe. Pindandam is me. What is not in the Brahmandam does not exist in me. What is not in me does not exist in the Brahmam, in the Brahmandam. This is that relationship between Brahmandam and Pindandam. Pindandam is us. So this Tripudi goes away, Krishna says here, and as much as you start covering everything with the soul inside and bringing Krishna into it, that is our sadhana. That is the sadhana in the process of knowledge. That is the sadhana. Particularly in the process of knowledge, in the chanting process, for example, chanting in the process of bhakti is important. Why? To purify the chittam. And through the process of chanting, we get purified stage by stage. All vasanas get driven out from inside, and we started seeing the truth in a much with a lot of clarity. We start seeing things. At the moment, so much ignorance goes inside. All what we have got is millions of questions, isn't it? We are ready to fire away questions after questions. Why? Because there is so much doubts inside, and there is so much impurity inside. As much as the impurity goes away through the process of bhakti, through the holy name, through various sadhana processes, it gets purified and vision turns inward looking. We start seeing that truth is something different than what I was thinking about before. That will happen at that stage. We ourselves start recognizing our own limitations and our own drawbacks. We'll start seeing in ourselves that it is only because I was not pure enough that I was not able to experience the truth. This will happen at that stage. That's why it says here that, see, this is very important, because if you carefully think about this, you will see the interesting side of it. So, Dharma Shastram, we have got all kinds of religious principles. Like, just you can see, when you read the different literature, you'll find there certain things you should do, certain things you should not do. This is correct, this is wrong. You should follow this, you should not follow this. Like these various injunctions, isn't it? Instructions are given there. Those things, good and bad things, so many things, Dharma Shastram. Dharma Shastram is talking about all these things. Those things are there only to make us a first-class gentleman. In other words, Dharmam is to make us that purity to bring it inside us. Yeah, I'll come explain that a little bit more. To understand this is important, because it says here that sometimes people, when they are in a very negative situation, in the lowest level, when we say lowest level means, what it means is, when one is very addicted to sense gratification, one who thinks he is the body, and he has all false conceptions about this world, about himself, about everything. That is everybody's state. In the beginning it is like that, isn't it? We have completely false concepts about the world, about ourselves, and about everything, rest of the things. When it is in that state, then you tell him these higher truths, it won't hit him. He will not understand it. So what they have done, they have created this discrimination there in the name of sinful activity and pious activity. That's where it's all coming from. The sinful activity and pious activity, this is only for this purpose. When you are in that state, you need it. I don't know whether it's getting to your thoughts. Suppose somebody is very gross. You know what I'm saying. Very gross means that he is addicted to all kinds of sense gratification. He is unable to understand anything about the soul, can't understand anything, he is thinking, what is this soul he's talking about? In such a state, yeah? And he is thinking that my only business in this world is how to enjoy life. And in order to enjoy life, I'll do what I like. I won't care for anyone. I will cheat if I like. I'll make money. Some people have got such a push for making money, isn't it, in this world? So, when they have that kind of drive inside, if you tell him about the soul, Atma, Jiva, Atma, Maya and all that, even it won't enter here. What to talk about going this and going that way, even it won't enter here. Even that will be very difficult for such people, if you tell that. So, when somebody is in that state, the only way to wake them up from that state is, that is where, in Puranams and all that, you will see all this Pabam Punyam spoken in a big level, big scale. Particularly, you will see Lord Jesus Christ, in his many lectures, you will see sinners, 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 he is calling them all the time. You can see that because the people who were around him at that time, who were listening to him, were engaged in such activities that he has to first instill in them a feeling of sinful nature which is bad for them. He has to generate that in them first. Because it was no point in talking to them about soul at that time. It won't work. So what he did was he spoke to them that their cruelty was unimaginable. Cruelty they were involved with. Can you imagine that his own followers had put him into the cross, isn't it? So, such were the people he had to preach to, he had to speak to, Krishna, God consciousness. So, naturally, when you have to deal with people like that, the first thing you have to say to them is this, that control your activities. And you have to separate it out and tell them, these are all sinful activities, these are all pious activities. If you say like that, they will slowly start listening to it. Because then they get some interest in that. Oh, these are pious, these are sinful. They'll start picking up things. They'll start picking up things from that. And that for them, the cruelty inside has grown so strongly that everything is an entertainment for them in this life. What do you say? Entertainment for them. So, to them, to say to them that you are living for, see Krishna, cover everything with Krishna, with the soul, it will be very hard for them to do it. So, at that stage, you have to create that feeling of guilt inside, in them. You have to create that feeling of guilt inside. This is wrong. If you do not bang this into their head, you won't get any control over them, over these people. You cannot get any control over them if you don't do this. Otherwise, they won't listen. That is why these sinful activities are spoken so strongly in the beginning. It has to be there. But as much as but this sinful activity, pious activity, is all in relationship with the society. You can't connect that with the absolute truth. You cannot do that. Absolute truth is something different than all these things. Just by following four regulative principles, nobody is going to realize the self. That's the first thing. Or knowing that, oh, I'm following all the four regulative principles, I'm going to realize the self, it's not going to happen. That's a misunderstanding. It won't happen. Why the four regulative principles necessary? Because person who is very much on a gross level, very much on a gross level, in order to bring him some sense, you have to create a feeling of guilt inside. And therefore all pious activities, sinful activities, just like that is called dharmam, isn't it? Dharmam is spoken in that way. So by doing in that way, what will happen is, as he starts following this process, human society is different everywhere, isn't it? And as he starts following this, he will start realizing that these sinful activities, pious activities, when he follows that very carefully, he will slowly start thinking about the higher truths. That is the benefit from that. So, so here, practically, when you start covering everything with Krishna, only Krishna is present everything. If you say that to that person, he will not get that message. It will never have any impact on him. So therefore, first thing is done in this way. created this feeling of guilt in a person, it's all sinful activities. Because normally, in an advanced state of consciousness, when one is experiencing the presence of the soul in everything, normally there will be no tendency to commit violence towards any living entity because seeing Krishna everywhere at that time. There's no question of... But today what do we learn? In the early days, we say forced regulatory principles. No killing animals. If you read like that, sometimes people will ask, okay, you don't have to kill animals, you can kill other human beings, isn't it? What's wrong in that? No meat eating, we say. If you take the word by word, mean no meat eating, fine. Okay. No killing animals, but killing other living entities may be justified in some way or other. But killing itself is a sinful thing. If we understand that, little by little we get certain purity inside from that. It is that purity that is more important than you are killing another living entity. And similarly, association with illicit sex, we say. Why? Because in order to bring the senses under control, so that the senses don't drive us crazy and give us that freedom to do what we want, it will bring us under control by following this process of the regulative principles. But when we started taking to the knowledge of the soul and the absolute truth, there these things have not much of a significance. The knowledge is more important at that time, not the regulative principles. If the knowledge is inside, the verse is Bhavadvaidam sada kuryal kriyadvaidam na karhichil. In your bhavam, inside, the knowledge should be there of the truth. What is the soul? That truth is, in everything what is present is Krishna. Whether it is animal, bird, beast, trees, plants, creepers, whatever it is, what's present is Krishna. So, Bhavadvaidam sada kuryad. Inside we have to keep this knowledge all the time. But outside, kriyadvaidam na karhichil. But we should not bring this knowledge to the world and start experimenting that with the world. It will not work. You see what I'm saying? That knowledge, spiritual knowledge, particularly this knowledge of Ishavasya Upanishad, is to be kept inside. But the principles of that Ishavasya Upanishad, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yatkincha jagatyam jagat, cover everything with Krishna. It should be only done inside. If you start saying to everybody, oh, it's all Krishna now, and Vyavaharam, if you start doing this, you will be in trouble. You see? This is the beauty of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge inside should give us that strength inside, that inside you are not disturbed any moment. Why? Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkin jagatyam jagat. Jagat is nothing but Krishna. This knowledge inside always. But still you have to deal with this world while you are in this body. There in Vyavaharam you can't bring this knowledge in. This is how it is. So two things. Vyavaharam has to go on in this world. That you have to do according to the dharma, the principles of the society, whatever dharmam it has established. The society dharmam will be there. There are certain dharmam for every society, isn't it? All over the world there is dharmam. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Advaishta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja nurmamo nirahangara sugadukka samakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma adrana nishchaya mayarpidamano obadir yome bhakta samaye priyaha. In the 12th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about how you should deal with the world. Advaishta sarva bhudanam. No enmity towards any living entity. Friendship to all, maitra karuna evaja, and karunyam, mercy to all other living beings. Nirmama, no attachment anyway. Nirahangaram, no pride inside. Samadukha sugakshami, happiness or distress comes, you are not going to complain about it. All this is as far as the world is concerned. But inside, it's all covered with Krishna. It's Krishna who is doing everything in this world. And that is the side of that. So, we should not bring this knowledge and dissolve that in this world. Dissolve that in this world, then we will be in serious trouble. So, in our vision, in our understanding, we should keep it. In other words, our understanding of the spirit soul, knowledge of the soul. And this knowledge of the soul means the presence of the soul in everything else. They should remain inside. They should remain inside. But in vyavaharam, in our dealings with this world, there should be dharmam. We have to follow the dharmam. Dharma means the what Krishna calls it as the dharmam is the one, the law, by which we can live peacefully in the society without disturbing the society. And this is what is known as the if you don't have the knowledge inside, there will be trouble inside if there is no knowledge. And if you don't have the dharmam outside, there will be trouble outside. Knowledge and dharmam is like that. Jnanam and dharmam, two things. Jnanam is the knowledge, dharmam is the dealing with the world outside. Inside there should be knowledge. If there is no knowledge inside, there will be trouble inside. If there is no dharmam outside, there will be trouble outside. And this is what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is called as Bhagavata Dharma. It is called as Bhagavata Dharmam. So, Bhagavata Dharmam, Dharmahya Tattvam Jnanam Cha. So, therefore, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the 7th chanto, while talking to Prahlada, he says there that Prahlada, he says like this, that you know, when Sri Narada Maharshi was instructing Prahlada, he says there that Hrishi, this is Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this while he was instructing Prahlada in the womb. He says to him, Hrishi karunayastasyal pradhad ubhayamishvara dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha mama pyuddishya nirmalam. He says there that Prahlada is saying this, what Narada Maharshi has told him while he was in the womb. What did he say to him? Hrishi karunayastasyal. Hrishi means Sri Narada Maharshi. Out of his mercy, he started feeling great compassion for me, Prahlada says to his friends. And what did he do? Pradad ubhayam ishwaraha. That he started talking to me two things, he says. Who? Sri Narada Maharshi spoke two things to me when I was inside. Looking at me and my mother. Looking at me and my mother. What is that? Dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha. Dharmam and jnanam. Dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha. In the dharmam, he spoke in relationship with bhakti. In relationship with bhakti, he spoke the dharmam. And he also spoke to me jnanam, the knowledge of the soul. Two things Srinanda Maharshi instructed Prahlada while he was in the womb. And that's what Prahlada is saying to his friends. Dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha mamap uddishya nirmalam. And these were spoken and for my mother's peace of mind and looking at me as well as my mother. He spoke this. So, Bhagavata Dharmam is like that, these two things. Inside the knowledge of the soul and fixed on that state always. Outside for Vyavaharam, we have to follow the Dharmam of this world, whatever that is. In every, as I said, everywhere there is certain principles, isn't it, of Dharmam. Dharma Shastram is there in everywhere. There is some Dharma Shastram in every place, isn't it? Like we shouldn't tell lies, we shouldn't cheat others, or we should not give trouble to others. There are certain Dharma principles like that. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam, what Krishna is talking about here. So in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see Krishna also speaks in the same way in the canto, in 11th canto. He will see highest philosophy he will speak in the beginning, and then he will speak about Varnashama Dharmam later. For the same reason. Why? Dharmam is necessary in this world. One has to follow Dharmam. It's necessary. And later, but inside, the knowledge should continuously develop inside. In the world, both are necessary. And we also have to know the dimension of both. The dimension of the both. And that is what the Upanishads are going to talk next in this Ishopanishad, that is what it is going to talk about next. You have to know the knowledge and you have to know the ignorance also. Knowing the knowledge as well as the ignorance, and you have to know how to balance it. You have to know how to balance it. It's necessary because world is avidya. Avidya means ignorance. World is ignorance. So how to balance that avidya while developing vidya inside? This is the secret of that. That is what Upanishad is going to talk about it now. Though through knowledge, you have to learn how to stay in the liberated state all the time. And at the same time, take care not to take that knowledge and dissolve it in the world outside, because that will cause problems later. So Shruti, Vedas are saying that one who takes vidya, that means the knowledge of the self from inside, and start using it in all his daily dealings in the world outside, what will happen to him? He'll go into the greatest darkness. He'll go and fall into it. And that is what it is going to talk about next. So, on the other hand, one who keeps all this avidya ignorance inside him, he will also go into greatest darkness. You see? One who takes the knowledge of the self, what he takes from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or Ekadasha Skandam, realizations of that, if you start using all that in your world outside and start seeing it's all correct or not, it will not work. Because that is meant for development inside. The jnanam is development inside. For external world, while living in this world, dharmam is necessary. Dharmam is what is meant for that. So, jnanam for inside, dharmam for the world outside. So, in the world of the eyes of the world, dharmam is important. Have you noticed that? Dharmam is important in this world. So, so therefore, in the beginning, Shastram says, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. And we also say like that, this is correct, that's wrong. You should do this, you should not do that. And you should live like this in this way, you should not live like this in that way. But when everything is safe inside, when everything is safe inside, that means if this knowledge of the self is very fixed inside, at that point in time, this dharmam will not disturb you very much. The knowledge of the world outside, vyavaharam, will not disturb us inside. So, therefore, what they say is like this, that before we develop this knowledge of the self inside, once you know that it is absolutely in dharmam, now you can safely transcend it. That is the stage when you transcend the dharmam. Say, for example, the dharmam is the one how we deal with the world in vyavaharam. Knowledge of the soul self is what is inside us, where we have to be fixed in on that state all the time, our consciousness. So once this dharmam is followed properly in order to have the peace in this world, it says here, once you know that it is everything, your life becomes according to dharmam. In other words, dharmam also you have to follow and you have to become habituated to that, isn't it? You have to become habituated to that. That means that you won't cheat others, you won't lie with others, or you don't have to be rude to others, kamam, krotham, anger, all these things has gone away. Or in other words, your life has become very dharmic. They say dharmic life, isn't it? So this dharmam will take you to a particular stage, and when that has become very stable, in that then you can leave all that. You can slowly transcend it. That's the transcending dharmam and completely get fixed in the soul alone. Completely get fixed in the soul alone. So, you can't leave the body and the mind in the state of adharmam and go and take the shelter of the jnanam inside. This is important. If you start thinking that, well, I am now concerned about the soul, therefore why should I bother about this world? This mentality will come. Why should I bother about others? I'm interested in my spiritual life. Whatever I like, I can do it. That's not allowed. Because what will happen is, if you ignore dharmam completely. Dharma means the religious principles involved in this world. Dharma, if you ignore and simply go after knowledge, knowledge won't stay. Knowledge will be completely disturbed inside. Knowledge cannot get settled there inside. That's why in the Mahabharata, if you look, there is a verse there that you should not leave the body in an adharmam state and come to the position of the knowledge. Bring the body and the mind from the adharmam state to dharmam. Adharmam state to dharmam. Then what do you do? Tyaja dharmam adharmam ja ube satya nade tyaja ube satya nade tyaktual yena tyajas tyajasi tal tyajam. Mahabharatam, there is this verse which says here, ultimately you give dharmam adharmam everything, both of them you can give it up. Why? Ube satya nade tyaktual yena tyajasi tal tyaja. That a stage comes, dharmam adharmam is not any more important. You see, today we give a lot of importance to all these regulative principles and all that, isn't it? We start thinking that these are the whole sense, spiritual life is centered around my four regulative principles. We start thinking like that. But they are only in the initial stages. When you start seeing the position of the soul, and when Upanishads are saying us to cover everything with the soul, this minor thing in relationship with the principles of regulative principles and all becomes, has no more validity there. No more validity there. In the sense that once we have become proper dharma state of life, then you don't have to worry about those things anymore. Then you can move on to the platform of the soul. This is the principle. Not before that. That is why you can see sometimes in this world someone who claims themselves to be devotees, following the principles and all that, and following the sadhana, things like that, some of their activities doesn't have that dharmam in there. They have come to understand that dharmam is not important anymore. No, that is not allowed under any circumstances. On the other hand, sometimes you see among atheists, they have dharmam in them. Have you seen that? Sometimes you can see this. They are atheists, but they follow dharmam. It is that person who will make progress than this person who has no dharmam, who is trying to stick to the path of knowledge of the soul. He's trying to develop the... Because his knowledge of the soul will always be disturbed because his dharmam is not secure. And the path of dharmam... How important it is, these things. And they are never taken seriously. We are thinking that, oh, if I am a devotee, what does it matter? I got free license now to do what I want, what I like. I don't have to care anybody else. That is not the principle. You will see like this. We have Vaidika Bhakti, we have Raganuga Bhakti. Two types of bhakti we talk about, isn't it? Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke Raganuga Bhakti. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to this world. But coming to before this Raganuga Bhakti, Vaidika Bhakti is spoken in the Bhaktira Samadha Sindhu. We have to follow that. Why? If we can all take to Raganuga Bhakti straight away, why should we bother about Vaidika Bhakti? Isn't it? That question will come. Why should I follow this Vaidika Bhakti principles if Raganuga Bhakti is the highest? But you have to remember, Raganuga Bhakti has come from Vaidika Bhakti. Just like Bhagavata Dharmam has come from Vaidika Dharmam. It was not something separately born. It came from this. Therefore, this is the first step through which you have to go through before you enter into the other one. Unfortunately, often what we find is, because this understanding is missing, we start taking it for granted that Raganuga, I am all Raganuga mood, I am at the moment. I don't have to care about these Vedic rules and regulations. And people outrightly condemns and saying these things. But that is not what Shastram is talking about. Shastram is saying that before you develop this jnanam or insight, get your things outside correct first. Sort that out first and get that in control where at some stage they are not more any more important. But we have to go through that phase in the beginning. That is what Krishna is saying here. And in the Kathopanishad, the same thing. When what Mahabharata has spoken here, you will see the same thing. Nachiketas talking to Yamadharma Raja. Nachiketas says to Yama, that Nachiketas says to Yama like this. He says there, that this is very important because it says here that anyatra dharmad anyatra adharmal anyatra dasmal krada kradat anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha yat pashyasi tadvada. This is the verse of the Kathamanishad. Kathamanishad is saying here, dharmam adharmam, Krishna is above all these things. Brahmam, Krishna, soul, is above all these things. There is no dharmam, adharmam or anything. What does it say? Anyatra dharmad, anyatra adharma. Dharmam, adharmam, above that is the absolute truth. We know that if you follow the dharmic principle, you go into the heavenly planets. If you follow the adharma principles or the adharmic principles or sinful things, sinful activities, you have to go to the hellish planets. So, but beyond this dharmam and adharmam is Brahmam. Brahmam, the absolute truth is above all these things. And that is why it says here, before anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha yat pashyasi tadvadaha. So beyond all these things, Najiketa says to Yamadharma Raja, it is in the Kathamanishad, he says, talk to me about that truth beyond all this dharmam adharmam, he says there. He was not asking, Najiketa didn't ask him, talk to me about dharmam adharmam. He says, talk to me about that truth which is beyond dharmam and beyond adharmam. Beyond dharmam and beyond adharmam. Why is that? Because Najiketa has reached that state, he could ask that. Only he wanted to know about the truth, nothing else. Nothing else. Only about the soul. Dharmam adharmam was not an issue for him anymore. Because as a good brahmachari, he lived that life properly and went through that brahmachari stage, and now he has come to ask that right question to Yamadharma Raja. So that is what you find in the Kathamanishad also. So later on, what will happen is that all conflicting dualities of this world, that talk to me about that truth which is beyond everything. That is how Najiketa's. So why saying this is that the Upanishad's knowledge, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkinchi jagatyam jagat, is not a simple thing that one can capture straight away. There's a long way process which has to go through, and in that process all these issues will come. All these issues will come. So we'll stop here, and we'll have a few minutes kirtan, and then tomorrow's Bhagavadam class we will have in Stanmore at Anil's house, and then we will see after that what to do. So that's how things are. we'll start same time, 2 to 5.
tomorrow,
yeah. Just for tomorrow. And then from there we'll decide later what to do. We'll have to find some place. So I'll just have a few minutes.